Well, as we said, it is an exciting night tonight as we see some wonderful people being baptized tonight. And just want to take a few moments just to share a little bit about baptism this evening, and then they'll go off. The candidates who are being baptized will go off. They'll get changed, or we'll have a time of worship. We've been seeking God for you, that God's got a word to speak into each of your lives, and just to join in that together. But I just want to open the scripture tonight. Maybe if you've got a Bible with you, if you can turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2, and I just want to speak a little bit about baptism, what we're actually doing here today, the significance of what is happening today. And sometimes people think that getting baptized is something, well, I've just got to get done. Well, we've got to get baptized, but there's a significance to it, and we need to all understand and appreciate really what the heart of that is. So I want to read from Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 6 down to 14, and then we'll just talk about that together. So Colossians chapter 2, reading down from verses 6 to verse 14. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him." This is verse 6. Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you also were circumcised in putting off the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He gave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." I just want to bring out some points here as we talk about baptism tonight, as this baptism service. And the first thing we look about is that who are the people that should be baptized? Who is somebody who is able to be baptized? In verse 6 it says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord." And so anyone being baptized is someone who has received Christ Jesus as Lord, that they've given their life to him, they've invited Jesus Christ into their heart, and they've made him the Lord and Savior of their life. When we baptize people, when they're baptized, we will ask them, "Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life?" We'll ask that very question tonight. Each one, Nellie, will ask you the question, have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? And each one. And so we'll ask each one. We'll ask Jackson, the two Jacksons. We'll ask them, "Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life?" We'll ask the question. And the answer will be a resounding yes, because we only baptize people that have made that decision. And they've made that decision. They've made Jesus Christ as Lord. And they'll continue to live in him. So the first thing is, we baptize people who have received Jesus Christ as Lord. We only baptize believers. We don't baptize babies. Babies don't believe much other than they're hungry, my nappy's full and I'm tired. That's all they really believe. So we baptize people that are believers who are able to understand. So firstly, having received Christ Jesus as Lord. And the second thing it says, to continue to live in him. So becoming a Christian is just the very beginning. It's the beginning. The very first step is receiving Jesus Christ into our life. And the second step, the second thing that we do, is to follow into baptism, following in obedience the example that Jesus Christ himself even gave us. He himself was baptized by John the Baptist. It says, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And part of being baptized tonight is to saying, well, I'm taking the next step. I found my life in Christ, but I'm going to be obedient, an obedient servant, obedient follower of Jesus Christ. And being baptized tonight, you're actually publicly saying, Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life, but also you're saying before God that I'm going to follow you, even as I'm following your example in the waters of baptism, following you in obedience, even as Jesus said, it is fitting for us to be baptized. And so you're being obedient to that, but you're really saying, I'm going to live the rest of my life for Jesus Christ. And that's my encouragement to each one that's being baptized today. You've received Jesus Christ, you're being baptized, but then you take the next step, and you take the next step, and you take the next step, and keep growing in the things of God. And overflowing with thankfulness, and just so grateful for what God has done in your life. And that's part of the reason to be baptized, because you're so grateful for all that Jesus has done in your life. It talks about human traditions. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. And we're not doing this is because as Christians, this is the traditional thing that we do, that we're following some sort of a tradition in doing this. We're actually following Christ in doing this. Christ gave the example of baptism, and we're actually following him in the very process here. So it's not a human tradition, but it actually depends on Christ, and that's what we're doing today. We're having a baptism, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. It says here that, so what really does it represent? Who can get baptized? Well, only believers. Why do they get baptized? It's because they're following the example of Christ. They're being obedient and they're saying, Lord, I want to take the step. I want to take the next step. Lord, then I want to take the next step. And so they go on with God. And that's what you younger ones who are being baptized today. You're all young, young in age. And I know God has got so much for you and that you go on from that. So what actually does it represent, baptism? What does it represent? It says in verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And so that we know Christ, who was God, came down and walked upon this earth, that he died on the cross in our place. And that's what you're actually celebrating tonight, each one of you that have been baptized, that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. He died for your sin. That's what's so important about tonight, that Jesus died for you in your place. And that's part of really what you're looking at tonight, that Jesus came, he died in our place. And it says you have been given fullness in Christ, that we've received Christ, we have Christ living in our hearts, who is the head over every power and authority. And in verse 15, it begins to talk about something. It says, in him you were also circumcised in putting off the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Circumcision was instituted by God as a physical thing. It was an outward sign in Genesis 17. When God made a covenant, he made promises to Abraham. And he said, circumcision will be a sign. It's a physical thing. It's an outward demonstration. By being circumcised, you're outwardly demonstrating that you're entering into the promises of God. And even by being baptized, it says, it's not a physical circumcision, but it's a circumcision of the heart. It's a thing that you're doing outside, physical demonstration, which is showing something that has happened inside each of your hearts. And that's why you're being baptized. And so you're being baptized saying, Lord, I'm entering into all the promises of Christ. Well, the children of Israel had to be circumcised to enter into the promises of that covenant. And baptism, as we are baptized, we're saying, Lord, I'm entering into all the covenant promises, every promise that you have. But when I'm baptized, I'm entering into that. And so there's a significance in what you're doing here today. And in verse 12, it says, having been buried with him in baptism. And so whatever your old life has been, whatever the past has been, whatever the heartache, whatever the tragedy, whatever the difficulty, whatever our old life was, whatever it represented, that when we come down into the water, as we go down, we leave all of those things behind. It's like we're dying to ourselves, we're dying to all our past, and we're saying, Lord, I'm just leaving that behind. I'm being buried. It's like when Jesus Christ was died, it took him off the cross, they threw his body into a tomb, put him into a tomb there, but on the third day he rose again. And for each of you being baptized, this is like your funeral service today. It's like you're dying today. It's that all of the things that are about your own needs, your wants, your flesh, your desires, the sinful nature, everything that was attached that is not of God, we say, Lord, as I go down in that water, that is dead and that is buried. And so it's like a funeral that we're having. We're buried with Christ in baptism. And then it talks about and raised with him. And so when you come up out of the water, you come out a different person. You're not the same person anymore. You're a different person. You're a brand new creature, the Bible tells us. And so that when we raise up, we're no longer someone that has to be dictated by our flesh and our desires. We don't have to live in the realm of the flesh because we're saying, no, all of that is dead. And as I go down in that tank, it's like I'm dying to flesh. I'm dying to a sinful life. I'm leaving that stuff behind because that's dead. It's not me anymore. And as I come up out of the water, I'm becoming a new person in Christ. That's what today is about. So it's a very significant thing that we are doing here today. And verse 13 says that when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. And so it's before we come to know Christ. And being baptized is not the thing that saves you. It's coming to Jesus Christ is the thing that saves us. That is where our salvation is found. But baptism is a seal upon that as we apprehend everything that Jesus has done on the cross for us. And it's a symbol for us that we've been alive in Christ. You come up out of the water, it's like I was dead, but now I've come into life. I've been made alive with Christ. And so it's a very significant thing, as we said today. So you no longer have to live like everyone else. No longer and have an excuse and say, oh, that's just like me, or that's just how I am, because how we are is not like that anymore. Who we are is who we are in Christ now. Our whole life changes because of what Jesus has done. And so we become alive in Christ. The Bible says that we are a brand new creature. A brand new creature. So you're not your past anymore. And some of you have come out of all of you have come out of some pretty difficult backgrounds, some very difficult circumstances in your life. You're not a product of what happened to you. You're not a product of the difficult circumstances that you will be, but you're now a product of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're now his child. You're a brand new person. And so your life is now found in him. It's not defined by who you were or what's happened to you. It's only found in Jesus Christ. And it says there in the end of that verse 13, it says, he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code, the accusations against us, with its regulations, that stood against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing to the cross. And so that when we come out of the water, that all our sins, it's showing to us that Jesus Christ, his blood that he shed on the cross, he washed away our sin. He totally forgave us of all our sin, that we're no longer an object of sin. And this is symbolizing for us that when we came to Jesus Christ, that his blood has washed away all our sin. This is just ordinary water. As we know, it's just ordinary water. And hopefully it's just right, nice temperature for you, but there's nothing special about the water, but it reminds us and it represents to us the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed away all our sin. And so there's something very profound that you're doing tonight, something that we don't take lightly as we do this tonight, as we're doing something of great significance. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He gave every single thing that he had for each and every one of us. He gave everything. He bled on the cross. He suffered in torment and agony for us. He died, but he rose again. And tonight is reminding us that, Jesus, you died for me. You died for everyone, but you died for me. You get in the tank tonight. It's you saying, no, Jesus, you died for me. You died for everyone, but you died for me. And as you go under the water, Jesus, you suffered for me. Your blood was shed for my sin. Everyone's sin, but yeah, for my sin. I am responsible for your death, Lord Jesus. And as I go down there, Lord, you wash away all the muck, all the sin of my life. And as I come up, Lord, it's reminding me that I have a new life in Jesus Christ. And so it's a very profound thing that happens when we have a baptism. And I just want to pray for those being baptized, for Nellie and Comfort and Mirway and Nash and Jackson. And pray for them. They're going to go off in just a moment to be changed. But I just trust that God is really stirring something in your heart. You only get baptized once. And it's something that you do once because God has done something within your heart and something within your life. And so I trust that you really understand the significance of what you're doing tonight. That you're standing publicly and declaring that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I'm going to follow him every day of my life. That's what you're saying this day. You've already given your heart to Christ. But if you're coming through the waters of baptism, you're saying before everyone, before all the heavens, that I belong to God. And I'm going to follow him every day of my life. So let's just stand together. I'm just going to pray for those people that are being baptized. They're going to go out and get changed in just a moment. And so they'll go out into the toilet area there. The boys go in one area, obviously the girls go to the girls' toilets there. We're just going to pray for them. Father, we just thank you, first of all, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, every one of us that is standing here, Lord, that we are nothing without Jesus. Lord, we are helpless, hopeless, and lost. Lord, we just thank you that, Jesus, that you did come and you walked upon this earth. And let the Lord, that you suffered in terrible pain, Lord, in torment and agony, Lord, like we could never even imagine. And Lord, whatever difficulty or heartache, whatever tragedy maybe that has affected people here, Lord, that nothing really comes close to what you endured for us upon the cross, Lord. And so, Lord, we're in awe of you, Lord Jesus. We're in awe of your sacrifice, Lord, that you would die in our place, Lord, that we might be reconciled unto God, that we may have eternal life. And Lord, we just, first of all, we thank you for the incredible cost that you paid. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, none of us are worthy of it. But Lord, you freely gave, Lord, out of your grace and your compassion, Lord, your mercy. Lord, that you died upon the cross. So we thank you, Lord, that you died, but you also rose again. And Lord, that we have the promise of eternal life because of what you did. And so, Father, we're just in awe of what you did. And Father, as these ones are coming to be baptized, Father, I pray, Lord, that deep in each of their hearts, Lord, they'll be in awe. This is an amazing thing. Jesus died for me. He died for me. Jesus suffered for me. He suffered for me. He suffered for my sin. And Lord, I pray, Lord, let them have a deep sense of the profound awesomeness of this time, Lord. What an awesome time it is, Father, as they come through baptism. Father, I pray, Lord, as they go down in the water and as they come up, Lord, they'll feel so new, so fresh, Lord. There'll be such a smile upon their face, Lord, that they'll rise up as a new person in Christ. Lord, there's a new future, a new hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And this baptism, it reminds us of the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, even as circumcision was a physical thing, Lord, but had a spiritual application, Lord, we know, Lord, there's a spiritual application of what will happen here tonight. So Father, I pray for each one as they've prepared their heart before you, Lord, that you will speak to them, Lord, as we reach out for words of prophecy. Lord, these are not going to be our words, but Lord, it's going to be God himself speaking to these ones. Father, I pray, Lord, that they'll be in awe of that God would love them so much that he would die on the cross, that God would love them so much that he would speak and impart destiny into their lives. And so, Father, I pray as they go away now, Lord, as they go off to get changed, Father, Lord, there'll be a joy in their heart, Lord, but also a sober reminder of everything that tonight represents in Jesus' name. So those people.